good to be here this morning, and it's good to see you. Today we are going to continue on our series on the full armor of God. And this morning I'm going to speak on a message entitled The Vital Heart Protection. Vital Heart Protection. And the text is from Ephesians 6 verse 14, the later part of the verse. And we're going to try to use the technology. Hopefully it works, but see how we go. And this verse says, "Stand firm, therefore, having grounded your loins with truth." And that part Stephen spoke about last week. And I'm going to speak on the next part. "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness," that is the verse that I'll be talking about this morning. My name is Palatasa Javier, in case you didn't know. I come from a village called Mangia in the island of Vava'u in Tonga. I am a son of my late father and mother, Moses and Eseta Javier. And I know my land and my people and all my rights. We have land in the islands for which we are entitled to, and I have got right. I know my rights to all that the Javier family has got. In addition to that, I also inherited a lot of the Javier characteristics, which include not having a thick eyebrows, hardly have any. We have big ears, big lips, and people who know the Javier family will look at me and know that I am a Javier. You see, that is my identity, and I know who I am, and I know my rights. Just as much as I know my right as a physical human being, I should know my right as a child of God. You see, when we become Christians, we belong to the family of God. And as Tim Keller said, the effect of Christianity in our lives, number one is reconstruction of our identity. We have a different identity altogether. It reverses our values. We have a totally upside down values. No Christianity, if you want to go up, you need to come down. And if you want to be the leader, you need to serve a lot. It's a totally different values. In addition to that, our sins are removed. Isn't that great? You see, and the Holy Spirit changes us to be more like Christ, in line with our new identity. And the new characteristics, or one of the great characteristics of being part of God's families, are the fact that you are righteous. Do you know you are righteous? That is not something that we say. It's actually a legal standing before God. If you have got Jesus Christ in your life, then you are declared righteous. And that is something that you need to know, you need to understand as we talk. Now, but this is a very important area, important fact, that Satan will use to attack you. Because the fact that God declared us righteous in his eyes, the fact that you are a son and daughter of God, part of God's family, Satan will challenge you on that. Because every time you sin, the enemy will laugh at you. Ha, ha, ha. You're not righteous, are you? Look, you just lied. And you see, the attack of Satan is always on our identity. You see, Paul says in Ephesians 6:11, he says, put on the full armor of God and the reason so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And in verse 13, the same, so that you will be able to resist the evil days. So what are these? You see, that means the attack of the devil is attacking the main root. If you doubt your identity in God, and it's very easy for you to believe all the lies that the devil are going to throw at you. And that is very important to know. You see, when the devil tempted Jesus, the attack was always on his identity. Because he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread so you can eat. See, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. You know, when Jesus was crucified, the rulers were actually challenging him and said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. It's all about their identity. You see, Daniel began this series talking about our identity in Christ. And it's very important to know what is your identity, who you are in God's eyes, and what are your rights. And in Luke 23:3, the soldiers, they mocked Jesus if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. In verse 39, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. An insult from one of the prisoners on the side. So, one of the key truths, as I said earlier, about your status in God is that you are righteous. In the eyes of God, you are a righteous person. And that is so vital. And it's important for you to know that. See, I want to give you a few points that you need to understand. First one, we cannot be righteous in ourselves. Now, regardless how you try, if you try to be righteous, you can never be righteous in your own self. You see, according to Isaiah 64, verse 4, our righteousness is like a filthy rag. It's all your human effort, that's what it amounts to. So we cannot be righteous in ourselves. See, Paul says in Romans 3, verses 10 to 12, quoting Psalm 53, and said, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. And no one does good, not even one. That is our normal status as a human being. And if we try with all our efforts, it will amount to a filthy rag. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The second point, we are declared righteous before God. Aaron, can you put in the next point, please? You see, our righteousness is a legal standing. You are declared righteous by God himself. You see, the fact that I am a Javier, I was born to the Javier family, that doesn't mean I'm a perfect Javier. One of the bad ones, see? And the fact that you are declared righteous before God doesn't mean that you are righteous all the time. See, and you are declared so because of your belief. See, we spoke in the past, not long ago, about, Aaron, can you put in the second point? Because I can't. Can I do it here? No. Uh, saying anything. I go with our PowerPoint. We need to get it fixed somehow. We spoke in Genesis about the life of Abraham in Genesis 15:6, which says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That means what he's saying, because of Abraham's belief, he was declared righteous before God's eyes. And I find that very interesting. And see, Paul commented on that fact in Romans 4 by saying this, is verse 3 and 6. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his salary. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from work. What that verse says, our righteousness is not because of our work. Because so many religious people in the world think that because they work so hard, they serve their religion so hard, they will achieve righteousness. But it's not. It's not by work. It's by belief. And the fact that we receive Jesus Christ to ourselves by belief, that's what we are declared as righteousness for. And this is continuing in Paul's commentary in the same chapter, Romans chapter 4, in verses 20 to 25. This is what he says. With respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, we know that, and we believe in Jesus Christ, and we shouldn't be wavered by unbelief, but give glory to God. And being fully assured that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Those verses say that the experience of Abraham, he was declared righteous because of his belief. And that piece of scripture was written for us so that we know that because of our belief in Jesus Christ, we ourselves are declared righteous before God. And isn't that great? And of course, our favorite verse, my favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. See, we are declared righteous before God because Jesus Christ has paid for all the penalties of our sins. You are righteous, okay? And the third point is, too much. We are made righteous. We are continuously made righteous by the Holy Spirit. See, you will never stop sinning. I will never stop sinning. But you see, as long as we are in this sinful body, we'll continue to sin. That is not to encourage you to continue to sin because you have sinful being, though. But you see, even in our best effort trying to live a righteous life before God, we continue to be sin because we are a sinful body. But you see, what the Bible teaches in 1 John 1:9, when we sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Basically, every time, every day, and that's what I do, every day, I have to sit before God and confess my sins. Because even in my prayers, I'm sinning. But sometimes I pray to God, and all of a sudden I sleep. And I wake up, where was I, God? Oh, sorry. See, that's our nature. And 1 John 2:1-2, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. You see, what it says, we read the scripture and the purpose is for us not to sin. No one goes out there and aim to sin. You know, sometimes Christians say, oh, I'll sin, but not too much. And someone, a writer, I think Jerry Bridges, who wrote The Pursuit of Holiness, he used that principle and said that man who says that, the Christian who says that I'll sin, but not too much, is like a man who is going to war and aim to get hit, but not too much. The guys in the army know how dangerous that is. See, because reality is, it is the Holy Spirit that justifies that we continue to grow and grow and become more and more like Christ. I left high school, and after several years of being in New Zealand, I met up with a guy, a Christian guy who helped me became a Christian when I was in high school. And he sat down with me and we had a good talk, and we talked for more than an hour. And then he said to me, Tasa, do you realize something? And I said, yeah, what? We have been talking for more than an hour now. You never spoken a one single swear word. But you are the most foul-mouthed guy I ever met. And I found that very interesting because I never tried to stop swearing. It's all of a sudden, it's just gone. It just grew to hate sin. And that is what the life of Christ in us. He basically makes us more righteous and more righteous without us knowing. We just grow and change in our attitude to hate sin. We don't want to offend the Holy Spirit by sinning. And I find that very interesting. And the last point is, our righteousness is a breastplate. See, I find it hard to pronounce that word, it's too heavy. Let me have a drink. That protects our heart, okay? Now, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I'm going to use a series of pictures here to describe the conditions of our heart and how we protect it with the breastplate, okay? This is a series of pictures came from a big chart that I bought from Fiji in 1984. And I think a good majority of you were not born then. And I used it for my teachings, but I'll get to that. But this is the breastplate. You see, last week we spoke of the truth. And everything else on the arm of God has got to attach to the truth because it's very, very important for us to know the truth, okay? And this piece of armor is made of steel. And it basically protects the vital organs here, especially the heart. And basically the heart is the center of affection, and that's why we are using it here. Let me go down to the first point. I hope it can. Yeah, and it's actually linked to the belt. So the any fighter will fight with freedom, relying on the protection of the breastplate. You see, in the verse I read before, guard your heart. And I'll go now to the, and these are the pictures I was talking about. This is the illustration of our normal heart. See, everybody is born with this. Number one is dark. Number two, the light of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are outside, because this person, we call him Tim. Tim hasn't received Christ yet. And if you look, you know, in Matthew 8, there's a reference to a woman from whom seven spirits came out. And these are the normal spirits that love to live in our hearts. You know, Paul says that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual stuff and all sorts of powers and spirits of this world. And these manifest themselves in different kind of sins. If you note here, Satan is basically blinding the eye of the Holy Spirit. We just sing and ask God, open the eyes of my heart. But you see, if you don't have Jesus Christ, Satan will keep you blind. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of God, who is the image of God. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And these are the different sins. Selfishness and steal everything. Lies, you know, because the devil is throwing at you all sorts of lies. And if we are not careful, we'll believe that. See, the rage, anger, procrastination, discontentment, sexual sins, pride, all of those are natural to our normal human heart. And then all of a sudden you come to church and or read a bit of the scripture, then the light of the word starts to shine, and the eyes of our heart starts to open up, and then the Holy Spirit's fire starts to sparkle inside, and you know what happened? The evil guys are starting to run away, because they only love the darkness; they hate light. And they hate light. See, but if you are not careful to receive Jesus Christ, after hearing the word or hearing or reading the scripture, then what happened? You see, Matthew 12, Jesus refers to a man, a spirit that had been kicked out of a man. See, and that man did not receive Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit to rule his heart. And so the devil goes around and looked for something to rest. And he couldn't find it, came back and found the heart. He said, I'll go back to the man from where I came. And when he found it, the heart is clean and everything is in order. He went away and brought back seven other spirits that are more wicked than itself. And Jesus said that the life of that man is worse than before. And that is so important. If you hear the Holy Spirit working in your life, then it's important to ask Jesus Christ to come and tidy up. Otherwise, the life afterwards is far worse than before. But if you receive Jesus Christ to come and sit in your heart, number one is so full of light. See, the Holy Spirit settles in you. Jesus Christ is Lord. The eyes of your spirit open and you smile because you're so full of joy and enjoy reading God's word. You see, and what happened? All the evil spirits run away because they hate it. They hate light in your heart. Because when there is light, there's no darkness and there's no devil. Devils run away, they will be afraid. And they're all looking from outside. See, this is a dangerous situation. This guy here has received Christ, but is very lukewarm. Basically, the eyes hardly see, the light of the word hardly open the word to study, hardly spend time with the Holy Spirit, hardly acknowledge and praise God, and it's kind of dim. It's not really light, it's not really dark, but it's lukewarm. And you know what it says in Revelation 3, you know, the letter to the people of Laodicea. He said, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm about to split you out. And the warning for us, if that is your heart, I want to ask you that you talk to people, because there are a lot of people here who can help you, pray for you, help you in your Bible study. Because when our hearts are like that, then it's very easy for us to believe the lies of the devils. Because you're going to come, you're not saved. How about the sins of the past? And we need to kindle the fire of the Holy Spirit in our heart. See, when the guy who hasn't received Christ passed away, before he passes away, the devils are everywhere, welcoming him to the fire of hell. Whereas the death of a Christian is quite a joy, because we know we are going to a better place. You see, let me find the verse. Revelation 14. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. See, when we die in the Lord, we look forward to arise with him as well. And that's what happened when a Christian dies. The angels of heaven are everywhere to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And there is no mourn. We no mourn physically. But the reality is, we are going to a better place. And death is time for celebration. See, how is this Jesus Christ in our heart a breastplate? As I said earlier, our righteousness is only through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is in our heart, we are protected. You see, the breastplate is a metaphor that Paul used when he was watching the Roman soldiers guarding him. But the difference is, the metal protects the heart from the outside. Whereas being protected from the family, from the demons of this world, from the power of this world, we have Jesus Christ in our heart. and it naturally pushed the devil away from you. So if you want to be protected, and this is what I want to say to you, you need to make sure of your identity in Jesus Christ. You are saved. You are declared righteous. It's a legal standing. Just as much as I know my legal right to what was once my father's, it is your right before God. Because when you kindle, so you have to spend your time, enjoy fellowship with the Holy Spirit, praise God for what he has done on the cross for you. And you spend your time on the word and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the demons are afraid of you. You know, they'll leave you alone because they throw at you all sorts of things. But you are firm. That's what Paul said. You are firm because you know who you are and what God has done in your life. And that's what the breastplate is doing. So the breastplate is the holiness of God in us. Remember, who is in you is far bigger than whoever is out there in the world. Much stronger, much more powerful. And we are children of the light. And it's important. I want us to read together a few verses. Oops. The first one. Can you see? Let's read this verse. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness, righteous. Next verse. Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Is that it? I want you to remember this. This is my last slide, okay? Because of your belief in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Please don't doubt that. That is your identity. You need to walk out there proud. I am a child of God. And whatever comes your way, you will stand strong because you have that, your identity. You are declared righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of your sins in full. Isn't that nice? Not because of what you do, not because of what I've done. He paid it in full because of his love and his mercy. You need to acknowledge your identity in God and enjoy his presence every day. You know, we have the King of Kings in our hearts. We have the Lord of Lords. Now, I come from Tonga. We have a king. And everybody envies the king's family. Everybody serves them. They eat far better than us. They drive better cars. You know, but in the kingdom of God, this is the God of the universe. One day, you're going to enjoy uninterrupted fellowship with him. And that is something that you can practice now because he is in you, okay? Walk as children of the light. Then the forces of this world will stay out of your way. That is how the breastplate of righteousness works. As I was writing this, my head went to what Satan has done to me while I was preparing this service. You know, the forces of this world didn't want me to share this with you. And I was sick the whole week almost. I went to work only 1.5 days because I was really bad because Satan didn't want me to prepare this message. But you see, when we say that the breastplate of righteousness is protecting us, see, the light pushes them away. That doesn't mean we don't suffer sickness and things like that. Remember Job? God was allowing Satan to physically dealt to his body, but his heart was strong, because we know the breastplate of righteousness in our heart. Doesn't matter what happened to us, what happened to us physically, we stand tall and firm because we know we are child of God and we are declared righteous before God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you that you have paid for our sins. We come to you with nothing to offer. But because of your love and your mercy, you have adopted us to your own family. And through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the privilege of your presence. And as we enjoy that righteousness that is declared for us, we want to ask, Lord, that you give us, open the hearts of our the eyes of our hearts to see who you really are, that we may grow and be more like you every day. That everything we do, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.